Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I'm your host, Kat Jepsen, as always, and today I am joined by Michelle, who is a doting dog mama to Freddie and Lily. And today we're going to be chatting about how to feed our senior pups and cater to their every need as they age. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Kat. Are you okay?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Looking forward to this.
Yes, me too. It's been a long time coming, I think, hasn't it? We just kind of didn't agree on a date for ages, but we're finally here and we're getting to chat about your story. Yeah. Okay, so let's dive right in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Freddie, and Lily?
Okay, so I had Freddie when he was 14 weeks. He had had three homes by then.
Wow, already at 14 weeks, poor boy.
So he's had his few homes by then. I got him at the time. I already had two other dogs. So Lily, she's 16 now, but she was about 7 or 8 at the time. We also had Millie at the time. She was about 7 or 8 as well, 12 months between the two girls. Oh. They were kibble fed. He came with just a tin of meat. That's all they sent him with. But I'd been delving into like fresh feeding, raw feeding, natural feeding, like getting as much info as I could.
Yeah.
But just not bitten the bullet. So I thought, you know, puppy, here's every chance to do it. Let's go for it. You know, what have we got to lose? Somebody else I knew had just started feeding theirs like a natural diet. So I was like, right, time is now. Time is now, brand new, time is now. And really just kept the Lily and Millie on what they were already eating, because if it's not broke, don't fix it. They were fine. They were they were just settled. So I almost put them to the side of like, this is what they eat, but he's going to eat something different. And it wasn't until one of them wasn't feeling very well once, nothing major, just didn't want to eat. The upset stomach, didn't want to eat. Tried some different things. And I thought, you know what? Why not his food? Let's go for it.
Yeah.
So straight switched over, because obviously one was poorly, she wouldn't eat. So we didn't do any feeding a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We just went for it. I just went for it and never looked back. Absolutely never looked back. Different dogs.
And did you find that the poorly one wanted to eat the raw food when you served it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We tried all different things like you do. And I thought, right, last chance before, like, we're going to have to go to the vets. So there was nothing really wrong with her, but just a bit off of food. I went, right, let's try this. She ate it. And I just went, that's it. That's what they're eating now. So then all three were on it and we never looked back, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. So Freddie is the one to thank for all of the raw food in your house.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, bless him. So what was it that... how did you find fresh feeding to start with? Can you remember what the first thing was that kind of sparked?
So it feels like it's gone so fast with how much variety there is now. But this was like 2015.
Yeah.
So 2015, there wasn't much out there. You know, didn't see it around anywhere. There wasn't really any shops you could go to. And it was that somebody at work, they'd had a puppy, and I think she must have just been reading about it, and I just kept hearing like all about this, and I thought, I'm going to do a little bit of research here, and ended up just going down that rabbit hole that you do, you know, finding out this absolute new world that I knew nothing about.
Yeah,
I was like, I really like the idea of this.
Yeah.
You know, it not sat well for me really for a couple of years, thinking about my previous dog, thinking about he'd been on kibble his whole life, you know, the family dog. I wasn't in charge. He had skin issues. He was always like, not fat, but just a little bit bloated. It was never a great shape. And I kept thinking, you know, there must be something that we could do. There must be something. And as soon as I was almost given that push by somebody else doing that I knew. Yeah. I think it gave me a bit of confidence, really. Just to be able to do it myself, because again, no one else was doing it around me. Family didn't know anything about it. So I just was like, do you know what? Give it a go. What's the worst that can happen? It's everything's good about it. So I just
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. And I think because sometimes it can be hard when you kind of feel so alienated as well in something. Yeah. And when it sort of goes against the grain, although it is obviously a how dogs would eat way back when, but it goes against the grain as what we know now, but it can be really scary. So good on you for taking that leap by yourself and, you know, kind of immersing yourself into the raw and natural feeding world, because that is, I mean, 2015, you're talking what, nearly 10 years ago now. So that you, and like you say, back then it was literally like, you know, you got the meat and bones from the butchers pretty much. There weren't any raw food shops back then, were they? So you had to basically, if you didn't know how to feed, then you basically just, you didn't have anywhere to turn to, unless you obviously knew the people that were raw feeding before, where you could get the support from. But unlike nowadays, you could literally just go anywhere on social media and find those support groups, which is fabulous for parents now. But no, that's amazing. So I'm guessing that you didn't have Freddie and Friends then, because Freddie was a puppy. Okay, so Freddie and Friends came along when?
Freddie and Friends came along, I was working at a boarding catchery actually, and on my lunch breaks I did some dog walking. And then I got more into, I was already helping out at dog training classes, I got more into dog training. I wanted to spend lots of time with him. So I didn't, I couldn't see myself with a job where I had to go in the morning and come back in the evening and not seen the dogs all day. So I was like, right, maybe I could work this dog thing around life. Maybe I could do some training. So then I did some training qualifications, and Freddie and Friends became dog walking, dog training.
Wow. Yeah. I like it. I love it. You take risks. You go for it. You say, you know, throw caution to the wind. I like it. I'm loving it.
and I also think with my natural journey of feeding, I'm sort of down the same route with training. I think it's very much, although it is called dog training, I feel like it's very much canine coaching, it's relationship, it's everything that comes with the dog, it's, you know, everything natural with them, it's not, you know, no force, no, it's just training them and teaching owners,
giving them the guidance and helping pet parents be the best they can be to show up for their dog, and how to communicate with their dog, because I mean, you know, it's not easy to understand dogs, is it? No, you don't know.
They're telling you something all the time, it's just we're not always sure.
We don't know how to listen, do we, sometimes? That's amazing. Oh, that's wonderful. So so when you started raw feeding Freddie, so Lily and what was your other dog's name? Sorry.
Millie
and Lily. Oh, how could I forget that? Millie and Lily. So they were already 6 and 7, did you say?
Yeah, around that, something like that.
Okay, so they technically, in today's, you know, world, are classed as seniors, if you go by a packet of kibble. Which is sad, you know, it's sad that people think 7-year-old dogs are seniors, but I suppose for some breeds they are, aren't they? So because obviously your journey is one of your kind of golden moments is looking after your senior pup so well, because I mean Lily is now 16, isn't she, which is a fantastic age, you know, everybody wishes their dog would make it to 10, never mind, you know, 16, anything after 10 is just like fantastic in today's sorry state. So what kind of things do you do for Lily and then have done for your other senior pets then, do you think, which, you know, have helped contribute to her longevity, to their longevity?
For her, I definitely think loads of variety, loads and loads of variety. So lots and lots of seeds and lots of vegetables, lots of different textures, I think, have helped her. I definitely have started now to do a mix of cooked food and raw food, just because of her age and her tastes. Sometimes she wants something a bit warmer and a bit more comforting, and getting the raw out of the fridge isn't always the thing for her. But saying that, saying that, she much prefers chunks of meat. She likes chunks of meat, like what I would call real meat. You know, like obviously, like a pre-prepared raw isn't always very chunky. And if I pop her like a chicken heart on the top and a sprat, she will always eat that first. She's got really good teeth and she loves the food. And it makes me so happy just to be, I just watch her all the time eating, like, look at her for her age. Like, there she is chomping on some chicken or a
bone. I bet she's still like a little whippersnapper, isn't she, as well, being a...
Well, she actually, she can't see and she can't hear.
Oh, can't she?
Anymore, but she is as tough as anything. She still goes on walks. We take her to nice, safe places. She is as tough. She's as tough as anything. So although she's losing things like her eyes and her ears, her nose is amazing. So I think for her, foods that she can smell make a massive difference to her. Like I imagine, just a bag of kibble is very samey, and I want her to have variety in her life. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's wonderful, and I think it's. I'm going to just expand on the word variety as well, because I think what kind of commonly happens in the raw and natural feeding world is that people focus so much on variety of proteins that they kind of forget it's variety of all foods that is still, you know, crucially important for pets because like, we need a variety of proteins so that we get in the different nutritional values from each of the different cuts of meat and the different animals and everything like that. But it is all of these, you know, weird and wonderful fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds that contain all of these essential phytonutrients and the essential fatty acids and things. So I do definitely agree that it is, we just need to kind of get as much as we can. give it to the dogs that, you know, by any means necessary. No, that's great.
I think so, it's like a journey for, you know, she's exploring that food bowl. She can't see and she can't hear, but there's a journey in that food bowl for her. And she's figuring out what it is.
And yeah, she gets a lot of enrichment. I do. That's great. So it's like she's foraging, isn't it? Because she can't see what she's eating. Oh, that's wonderful. And obviously foraging is a form of mental enrichment, which helps to keep the brain young.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
that's fantastic. So... do you have any downfalls that you've experienced along the way with your raw and natural feeding journey?
I wouldn't say it was a downfall, because I think you compromise for how the benefits that you get. But when I had the three dogs on it, they were very different with what they were eating. So it would be like the older two, they'd have to go for small bones that were smaller, whereas Freddie would have bigger bones. So you've got loads of Tupperware, you've not got enough room in your freezer, you've got to buy a new freezer, you've got to get, you know, all your Tupperware. But at first I was using food bags, then I felt really bad that I'm using so many food bags that I'm throwing away. So now I'm going Tupperware tubs. So, you know, I'm trying to do 2 weeks in advance of food. They're only little dogs, so it's not much food per day. But when you have the three of them, that's a lot of food tubs and a lot of freezer space. And sometimes I say to them, I could just be opening a bag of kibble, you know. Giving you that as I'm chopping up. It doesn't take long, you know, to be fair, when you've got it down Sunday afternoon, couple of hours, your job done, it's fine. But time, I suppose, remembering to get it out the freezer. But then, you know, you've always got an egg and a tin of sardines, so you're safe, you're okay.
Exactly
And this is what it is.
It is, and it's no, it doesn't have to be stressful. It's like one of the things that I'm working on at the minute, in fact, I've got it, it's launching this weekend, is it's called, well, it's a No Fuss Fresh, and it's essentially a program for pet parents to learn how to do DIY, because I love DIY dog food. I think DIY is just the way to go. It's so exciting for me. I get really excited.
It's exciting. It is, yeah. It's so exciting, chopping things up. I love it.
It is.
If only I ate as well.
I know. It's just one of those things where you find something new as well, and you're like, can't wait to try this with the boys, you know. But no, I agree. I think what is commonly misunderstood is that people do think it takes a lot of time to prep the food. But once you've done it a couple of times, it's like anything else. It's like riding a bike. You literally, you get so, you know, get so much flow going on that you just, it just becomes natural to your week, or, you know, however, if you do it once every week, once every 2 weeks, then you do really reduce that time. I mean, I can get a week or two, I would say, depending what meaty bones I'm using, because some of them I cut up and some of them I don't. So if I'm using ones that I don't have to cut up, it's even quicker, obviously, because you just basically stick them in the tubs. But I can get a week's worth of prep done in like 20 minutes now. Yeah. If I've got, you know, if I'm using the stuff that I don't need to cut up, and then even if you do have to chop it up, it takes what, an hour maximum.
Yeah.
Unless I'm mincing, sometimes I mince it just to kind of give the boys a bit of variation, because some of the stuff Boris struggles with, because he's got quite a few teeth missing, and it's mainly his front ones really though, but he still likes to chew, like he still crunches the quail heads and stuff like that, so he can chew, but some of the stuff he's just a bit, he does that thing where he kind of pushes it around the floor, which is just not ideal. So sometimes I mince it, but if I do mince it, it takes a little bit longer, but not much. And that's mainly because I have to clean down the mincer. But yeah, it doesn't take much time, does it? And I think, you know,
really.
It's just super exciting. So I'm trying to kind of show people that DIY, number one, doesn't have to be complicated. No. And number two, as long as you know what you need in the bowl, anyone can do it. And it's just
absolutely
definitely. So
go on.
No, you go on.
I was just gonna say, I do my veg cubes, you know, blitz up all your veg. I've just got them bags of veg cubes, I just fling them in. Some weeks it's all pepper, some weeks it's whatever else, you know, it could be broccoli, it's carrot, what, it's whatever, but it's really quick.
Yeah,
you find ways to do it really quickly.
You do, and I think, you know, if you want to commit to, like, if you're going to commit to do DIY and you commit to doing it like I always say every Sunday, because Sunday's a day what some people might not have much going on, but whatever day works for you. But like, if you're putting time aside to do the prep, you can literally just, you don't even have to cook veg if you're blending it up, because you know, it's if it's blended, it's already pre-digested. So you literally just chuck it in the blender, put it into the ice cubes, and if you do a big batch every week, then you end up with a few batches of different cubes, which then you can basically just randomly pick a different one if you want, can't you, over the week. So you end up with like an accumulation in the freezer, which then saves time, where you probably have a month where you don't have to do any, because you've done that many in advance. Good, isn't
it? Yeah, really good.
And you can do that with the herbs and like the herbal teas, chuck them in as well, and it just
becomes... the bone broth as well in the cubes as well.
Oh, did you, was it homemade broth as well?
I do sometimes homemade, sometimes boiling broth.
Love boiling broth,
absolutely.
But no, I do, I think it's great. It's something that, especially, you know, if you do love dogs and you are mad about dogs, then it's something that you can get involved in, which just makes you feel so fantastic as well, because when they eat that and you know you've prepared it, it's just something so satisfying about watching them eat and love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
And I do want them to love it, you know, I want them to love their food and enjoy the food, and that's part of it, really. It's not just to keep them alive, it's for their enjoyment.
It is, because they don't get to make many choices in life, do they? Not in the domesticated lifestyle. So by, you know, helping them enjoy as much as possible, then we're just going that bit further for them, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So on the flip side, what has been some of the best things about your raw and natural feeding journey, especially for your seniors?
So for the seniors, I think it's definitely looking at just how different they look compared to before. I would have liked to have found, in hindsight, you don't always think about it, but I would love to have thought a bit more about what they were like before compared to now. But I know for sure that Millie, she was definitely always a little bit bloated, always. But, you know, if you've seen them throw up kibble before, it's like horrific, isn't it? Like just swollen food, it's just grim. So no wonder that sitting inside them is not always great. So her, definitely her bloatedness. They both just looked like younger dogs. They look, even though Lily's 16 now, her body looks like she's about 10.
Yeah.
Like she can't see and she can't hear, but her body is in great condition.
And that's really important, isn't it?
It is. She's not got weight on her, so her joints are really good. I like to do lots of fitness with them, so I think that helps as well. I think even being told when Millie had a heart problem, oh no, you can't be that anymore. And just
Yeah.
me having the confidence of going, oh, well, thanks for letting me know. But
Is
actually
that what they
making,
said to you?
yeah, they said like we would suggest this. And I went, oh, well, thanks for letting me know. You know, I'll have a little read about it, knowing full well that actually she was on the best diet she could be on. You
Yeah.
know, she was. And I fully believed in that. And I had to just go with what I thought.
Yeah, and that's important.
Definitely.
You know,
Yeah.
you've got to stick to your beliefs and you've got to
Yeah.
be confident. And it's this is another one of the problems, unfortunately, that we have today is that parents don't seem to have that, or they don't seem to find that confidence easily
No.
because they feel like inferior to
Yeah.
the
And
ones that are
I
advising.
felt like
Yeah.
that before. You know, they know
Yeah.
best. But I
Yeah.
think just as you go along with it and as you believe more in, I think it's as you see what they are like, how
Yeah.
they're eating, how well they are, how often you visit the vets, what their teeth are like, what their poos are like. I mean, surely if
Yeah.
people only fed them naturally to see what came out the other end, surely they would be all feeding it because
Yeah.
it's
It's
amazing.
one
They
of
don't,
the amazing things. Hardly any
it is.
poo, doesn't smell, dries up
No.
within 24 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a benefit right there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do. It is fascinating. And I think it does take for you to actually feed your dog the food and
Yeah.
see the benefits to
Yeah.
kind of really think. Because, as with any, you know, somebody that's new to raw might be thinking, oh, you know, it's hard to get your head round because people don't eat raw meat. So it's not something that we're used to seeing or doing. But the more that your dog eats fresh food and the benefits that you see from it, it just reinforces that flame.
Yeah.
Which kind of gives you that confidence and says, yeah, this is amazing, you know,
Yeah.
because it's just, there's no words to describe it really, is there?
No.
You've got to see it to
No.
believe it. So, like, if anyone
Absolutely.
is listening who is thinking about feeding fresh
Yeah.
food, just try it, please,
Yeah.
just try
Yeah. Just
it.
try it for a, you know, a couple of weeks. Try it. I think if you can, everyone who feeds this way can rub off on one person. You've done all you can do for sure.
Yeah, and even if you don't manage to sway anyone else, at least your dog is still benefiting from the food.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So do you definitely, well, probably I know the answer to this one anyway, but do you feel like switching Lily over to fresh food has helped us get to 16?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
I think she's got more energy. I think it's given her more energy going into an older age. Definitely. I think she, although yes, she can't see, she can't hear, what she can, we live by what can she do now? Yes, she
Yeah.
can't do some things, but we don't live in that time anymore. We live in what can she do now? And I think
Yeah.
by feeding her in this way, her eyes, although yes, she can't see, her eyes look really good. Her coat's really good. She's got really good body shape. Like her body score is brilliant for her age. You know, she's not thin. She's not
Yeah.
bony. She looks great for her age. And, you know, we've supported her through that with nutrition, but 100%, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm
Well,
sure.
because there is this thing, isn't there, that people do tend to say that dogs need less protein as they get older. What do you feel about that?
I mean, people have said that to me. They've also
Have
said
they
to
said it
me,
to you? Have they
yeah,
said
they've
it
said it
to
to me. Yeah, they've said it to me. And again, I've just done that. Oh, thank you for, you know, thank you
you?
for your suggestion. I'll just go and I'll have a little read about that.
Yeah.
But they've equally said it about puppies in classes that have been really excited puppies. Like, how are we going to calm this puppy down? Well, the vet says, or so and so says, or so and so says, like less protein. But actually, they're
Wow,
feeding them,
really? People say that?
yeah, and they've been feeding them like
Really?
quite a poor kibble. And I've
Oh,
gone, well, actually,
wow.
if you were feeding them like actual meat, you know, that
Oh,
would really
wow.
help them. Yeah, I think there's just a lot out there that there's a lot of misinformation, and I think it's people trying to pick out what suits them, I suppose.
There is a lot of misinformation, but I also
Yeah.
think, like, just touching on that about the low protein diet for puppies is just, I just can't believe that. That's just absolutely barbaric because puppies need even more than adults do. They need like twice as much for proper growth and development. But there is this issue as where is the protein coming from? Is it coming from a multitude of carbohydrate fiber exactly plant sources, yeah, or is it yeah coming from, you know, yeah, meat, bone, cartilage, yeah, tissue, yeah, that kind of thing. It's just, yeah, it's just one of those things. But interestingly, a lot of people do think that dogs are, they do say that dogs need less protein as they get older, but
yeah,
it's really, really not true. Dogs yeah can't process and utilize protein as much or as well as they used to as they age,
yeah,
but it doesn't mean they need less of it. If anything, they yeah need more, because then they will have more than enough to be able to use and process should their body, you know, be able to do so, which yeah it's just, I think it's just another one of these things in the pet food world where they can just kind of design a new diet and basically yeah sell it to people by, you know, yeah saying that these are the requirements of the aging dog, when really we should be looking at how to support their cognition with the omega-3 oh, yeah fatty acids, and how to support, you know, yeah arthritis and their joints and other yeah things such as their, you know, their hearing and their sight yeah and everything else, their cognitive function, their nervous yeah system, all these important systems, which are going to be replenished with protein
yeah
and good quality fats and absolutely not carbohydrates.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're right, you're dead right. You know, she gets plenty of protein. She gets probably more food than Freddie. Sometimes I think he looks across at her bowl and thinks, why is she getting more than me? She's about 5.5 kilograms and he's like 7.
Oh, wow, she, is that all yeah she is?
She's only tiny. Yeah, she's tiny, but she gets a real good amount in that bowl. And you know, and I think the older she's got, I've almost like, when she's eating her food, I sort of free feed her a little bit. She has meal times, but the amount that's in her bowl, I almost let her just go to town on it.
Yeah.
Because she never eats. She's not putting on weight. She's not putting on loads yeah of weight. She's maintaining her weight really, really nicely. And I think sometimes she just needs that little bit more, and that's yeah fine. And that's the way we've gone. We've not gone like, oh, she's older now, she needs a bit less. Sometimes she has a bit less. Like she's done like not much, but she had a really busy weekend this weekend, so she's had a lot more food.
We just do that
with her really now, and she eats all sorts.
That's amazing. And one of the things that we should always take into account when feeding our dogs is that we do have a range. We have a range of what is recommended in how much to feed them. Usually it's somewhere between 2-3% of their body yeah weight. But every single dog is an individual. They've got yeah different conditions. They've got different, you know, their health status changes every day, especially from dog to dog. You yeah know, what they look like this week can be different from what they looked like last week. They might develop a certain condition. They might be aging. So it's not always going to be that your dog needs that amount of food from, no, you know, from the minute you get them. From the minute you work out how much to feed them, it's never going to stay the same the whole no way through their life, because they are going to, you know, need different things later on in life. And this is one thing that's really important, is just let your dog tell you
yeah
what they need, which is, again, absolutely, trying to communicate with the dog, knowing how to check the condition, knowing, yeah, you know, how to support them, which, again, when we're looking at seniors, you have to do on a more regular basis, don't you?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
you so definitely how do. How often would you say that you check Lily's condition and make changes to her diet based on, you know, what she's telling you that she needs at any time?
I mean, as a family, we're obsessed with her. She's just like this magical little creature. I think it's one of those things where seniors, not they don't get pushed out, I don't think, seniors, as they get older, but it's almost like, oh, they're a bit older now, no, they don't do any training, they don't do this, they don't go here, they don't go there. Like, maybe you've got a younger dog, maybe you get a puppy as well, and they get a lot of time. But actually, she yeah is like our obsession, this little yeah dog. So yeah, we are checking it all the time, and we will yeah make adjustments a lot. You know, she has those weeks where she might be a bit more fussy with the food. So again, yeah, we're questioning, like, okay, what could we do with the food? And usually it just means that the chicken from the bone broth that I've saved in cubes, I'll just warm those and pop them on top. We do a lot of toppings with her. Once she gets yeah going, she's fine. But she's definitely, it's like a hands-on every day, checking over this little dog and making sure she's getting amazing everything. And then she loves things like the other weekend, we've got a really good raw shop near us. It's probably like 30 minutes away. Really, really good. Massive variety of different brands, really supportive. And they were selling whole lamb legs. So £5 this whole lamb leg. So lamb leg, towel outside, just let her on that for like half an hour, an hour. And she says, this tiny little dog, and the landmine as big as her. And she's just gnawing away on it. And I just think, like, the enrichment from that.
She loves it.
Just so great. You know, I kept thinking, poor dogs that don't get this, you know.
And it's
a shame, because she loves it.
One of the things that I always talk about in my Nova's Fresh is that, you know, if you haven't seen a dog with a raw meaty bone, then, you know, if you have, you will know exactly what I'm talking about, because they absolutely bloody love them, don't they? Yeah. Like, to the point where when you're introducing bones to your dog for the first time, you've got to try and create positive associations with them, because a lot of dogs, when they first start getting them, will kind of resource guard them because they deem them so valuable. Like Barney, my dog Barney, he resource guards bones, so I don't give them much, because I have another dog, Boris, as well, and it doesn't help their relationship when there's bones around. So if we do ever do bones, it has to be really kind of structured, and there's got to be, you know, everybody's got to be made safe, because Barney's he's just an idiot, you know. He's just one of those dogs who loves his bone that much that he just loves it so much. Which obviously is not ideal for me, but I mean, if you've got a dog who's going to nicely eat a bone calmly, then that's absolutely fabulous. I wish, out of everything that I wish for my boys, I wish that they could enjoy the bones that way, and Barney wasn't an idiot with his bones, because like, that is the own, that would be my downfall, I think, on my raw and natural feeding journey, is that they don't get to enjoy those bones as much as they do, because it's just so stressful for me, you know, as a pet parent, having to deal with that. And I've got a toddler as well, so it's just like, not it's just not an option for me. But I so wish that we could do that, because
she's very good. Freddie definitely is very into his bones, so we have to, I always do swapsy. I always have to swapsy with him. Because he's really into that bone. But yeah, Lily, she'll be chewing it.
Help me with Barney anyway. I'll have to
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, get into your ribs after about how I can help him with it.
Yeah.
With training skills, because I mean, I've tried I tried to do the thing where, you know, you just kind of like try and get them used to them.
Yeah.
But it never seems to like cotton on that it's gonna become a common practice, you know. But I am not a trainer. I do not have answers about training. I know about nutrition, and that is as far as it goes.
It's just special. It's very special for them. But no, I love it with Lily. I'll be like, as if I'm David Attenborough, down on the ground with my camera out, videoing her eating this bone, looking at her teeth, sharing it with people who don't care about your dog eating a bone. But I'm like, look at her.
Yeah, I know, it is. It's amazing, isn't it? Oh, I can just picture it. I don't know what she looks like, but I can picture her eating the bone. Like, I feel like I can envisage what she looks like.
I'll send you a picture of her.
Yes. Well, yeah, hopefully, because we need one for the socials for the episode as well. Yeah. Okay, so what would you say is the best thing about your journey into the natural feeding world, and what you have learned along the way?
I probably could say it would be that she's 16 and she looks as amazing as she does. But I think what I'm going to say is just how much I enjoy making the food, and I enjoy watching her eat it. I think it's a really bonding thing. I've made it for her. It's really special. I think you can be a bit hands-off with food sometimes. You know, if you're feeding kibble, you fed the same thing forever, it's almost, chuck it in the bowl, carry on with your day. But I really, every single time I feed the dogs, I've got that bit of time with them, and I watch them eating the food, and I like to see what they've eaten first, what did they eat first, you know, what did they pick at last. And I just love watching them just enjoy the food. I think it's just really cool. It gives a bit of time to do things together. I mean, not that we don't do anything together anyway, but I think food time could just be, we chuck it in the bowl and you eat it. But actually, I do spend those couple of minutes with them, watching them
there is just something so satisfying about it, isn't there? Especially, I think, I mean, I don't know if you've got any experience with picky eaters, but we had a phase where Boris was kind of, well, I'll tell you what started it. It was I used to feed them, this was years ago now, I can't even remember how long it was, breakfast and dinner. So they used to have a meal in the morning and a meal in the evening. And at one point, I think it was when Boris was quite bad with his epilepsy, to be honest. So looking back now, I probably would have understood the reasons behind it a bit more, but obviously we only know what we know at the time. Anyway, I just assumed that he was just being picky with his food because he like wouldn't eat his breakfast and then he might eat his tea. But I mean, in hindsight, he probably just didn't like what I was giving him, you know. Whereas back then I had a mindset of was like, right, yeah, you know, this is it, you get what you're given. Whereas now I am a little bit more attentive to, well, he just doesn't like that. So I'm going to give him what he does like, because then he enjoys his food. But what I did was I stopped feeding them breakfast and I just started feeding them their evening meal. And we've done that for years now. And now he just, he always eats absolutely everything, probably because he's starving. but I mean, one meal a day for me is a perfect way to feed my dogs. Like, I believe in one meal a day anyway. But like, yeah, I think sometimes when you're dealing with picky eaters as well, it can be quite frustrating, especially if you've like gone to lengths of DIY. But I mean, when I was doing this, I was just feeding mincers, because when I first started feeding raw, I was started like on the 80-10-10s like most people do. And it was only after a few years, after Boris was a bit picky with the food, Barney started having loads of problems with reflux and allergies and just other things. And that's when we got really into the DIY, because obviously you can manipulate your bowl so much that you can eradicate most of those problems. But do you feed once a day?
I feed twice a day, for the pure reason that Freddie, when he was a puppy, it was really hard to get him off three meals. So he always had like his two meals, and then at night when he was having like the third meal, it went down to like a chew or like a licky mat or something at night. And he really got into that routine of the three things. So then once we got rid of that third meal, it was like a chew at night. So he'd get they get the breakfast in the morning, they get like a midday, like mid-afternoon food. But then Freddie sometimes, I think he gets hungry overnight. So sometimes I have to give him a chew in the evening to go overnight. And I think because the other girls at the time, Lily and Millie, Lily now being older, I think she just seems to suit the breakfast and then the meal a bit later on. I know loads of people that feed once a day, and maybe I think we're just settled in this routine, but maybe if we were to change, then we might go to the once a day.
Well,
to be honest, like you said, it's something that makes you change, doesn't it? I think when you're all what you are at the moment, you just stick with what you're doing.
And if it works for you, then there's like you know, there's no reason why then you should start messing about with it, because they might start thinking, what are you doing, you know?
But he would be fuming, he'd be so angry, he'd be like, what are you doing?
I know. I remember when I first started doing it once a day, and I advise people to do it now with picky eaters. Like, if I get if I get a client who comes and says, you know, my dog won't eat his food, and they'll tell me the situation of, you know, what they've got available and how they're feeding it, and I'll say, right, you just need to stop doing all that. You need to just give them 20 minutes a day to eat the meal, put it down, 20 minutes, pick it up. If they don't start eating it within 3 to 4 days, then you might have an underlying medical issue, because a dog won't starve itself for more than 3 to 4 days, and it certainly won't die in that time. But like, when somebody first said to do that to me, because that's what I did, I was like, oh, I can't do that, you know, they'll be wondering where the breakfast is, you know. It was kind of that mindset, but now I just think I'm so glad that I did it, because Boris just literally eats, he just changed, like, he eats his dinner completely every time. And now, even with the DIY, sometimes he can be a bit funny, and that's as I've become more attentive to, okay, maybe he doesn't like that. Then that's when I started more adapting to that. But every time I see him, you know, when we're doing new DIY recipes, I know Barney's always going to eat it, because he's one of those dogs that will inhale everything. He eats rose hips off, you know, out of the garden. He's just one of those dogs who wants to eat everything inside. And Boris is the one you've kind of got to win. So if we have a DIY recipe and Boris eats it all in one go, I know that I've done it, perfect.
Yeah. I'm very lucky, really, because I've not had any picky eaters. They've all, every dog I've ever had has always been pretty good with the food.
Yeah.
Freddie's definitely very greedy, but the girls, Lily now and Millie before, when they've been getting older, they've still eaten really well, which has been great. I think it gives you a lot of confidence having a senior dog, knowing that you have got a massive variety that you could feed them. Yeah. I think only thinking I've got this kibble that they're used to, that they've had the whole life, where do you go if they don't want to eat?
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck. Whereas I can go, actually, maybe we could use this and we could warm this. Maybe we could add bone broth. Maybe, you know, there's loads of variety. There's something there that they will eat if they're not feeling 100%.
Yeah,
there's always definitely something that, you know, you like you say, you mince it if you need to mince your food off rather than chunks. There's loads you can do. Whereas I think you're very restricted without that if you've got a senior dog.
Yeah, definitely. And the beauty of DIY as well is that you're more than likely going to have all these various things at home anyway, because you're always mixing it up, so you've got a different selection of meaty bones and chunks in the freezer what you could try, and then like you say, you've probably got broth on tap because you feed it all the time because you know how great it is. And one of those, it's just using your toolkit that you've got at home, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got everything there, because I think before the girls were very fed on raw, it would be, oh no, they're not eating. Well, we've got to go to the pet shop and we'll get this.
Yeah.
We'll try a bit of everything. You've opened a packet of everything and they've gone, no thanks.
Yeah, because it's all the same.
We've got everything, you know. Do you want an egg? Okay. If you're not eating a raw egg, maybe we'll just scramble.
Do you want it scramble in butter, you know?
Do you want this? Do you want some avocado? Do you want this? Like, you're giving them everything you've got. But there'll always be something. And I think you've got that variety. I think people are very, I know that lots of people are very worried about feeding anything different, but what they're actually feeding isn't great to start with. I have people come to classes and, you know, this is what their dog eats. They're worried about feeding anything else, but what they're feeding is actually rubbish.
Yeah, it is. It is. I know. No, I agree that, you know, most kibbles are full of loads of questionable ingredients, aren't they?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think the issue is still very real, that pet parents are unaware of the kinds of things that go into these kibbles. And we're all just doing the best with what we know, aren't we?
Yeah.
So they're going out to the pet shop and buying these foods thinking, right, yeah, this has got fresh food on the front of the packet. It says vet recommended. It says, you know, made with 100% chicken or made with, you know, full chicken, whatever. But it's just one of those areas where people are still so naive to think that this is the best food for dogs. And it's just kind of making those connections where it's got to a point now where, because we're so heavily reliant on convenient food and processed food and even to feed ourselves and not just our dogs, that we go to pet shops and supermarkets and we buy a bag of kibble they buy a bag of kibble. Can't remember the last time I bought a bag of kibble, but anyway. But then it's just that thing that people don't give it a second thought as to what's in it, because they just take it at face value that this is what we do now. And because we are now stuck in this convenient world.
Yep.
Even the thought of scrambling an egg for the dog or giving them a tin of sardines, it kind of baffles people, because they're like, what do you mean you can't give a dog that? Yeah. And it's just, that's just how we are now. And it's just so, I've even posted about it on social media. When I forgot to take the dog's food out the freezer, I just give them a tin of sardines and like a scrambled egg, and then
I do,
it's completely unbalanced. It's not gonna, you know, there's no bones in there. It's they might have a slightly softer stool the next day, but they bloody love it every time. Yeah. I tell you, they think it's their birthday, like when they get scrambled eggs and sardines.
Absolutely. And it's just having that there as that option, you know, like the people, isn't it? We don't eat a balanced diet every single day.
No,
I've eaten rubbish this weekend, but I'll survive.
Yeah, you know? And you'll pay for it all week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But no, I'm definitely convinced that nutrition, the tiniest use of chemical—I mean, no use of chemicals really—in her body has giving her these extra years. We're living extra years with this dog. And that's what everybody wants, surely, you know.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's got to be. It's like I always advocate, you know, let's try and normalize 20 years instead of 10 with our dogs. Because back in the day, it used to be that.
It did.
Fair enough, we have come a long way in terms of pharmaceuticals and over-vaccinating and flea and worm and you know, processed foods. But if we've done it once before, surely we can get there again. Surely we can get there. We've got a normal 20 years with our pets. It's just got to be done. I'd love to think that I was going to have 20 years with my boys. I just love it, you know.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah, and cats even longer. I think some cats can live even longer than that, can't they, as well? So I just hope we do get there. I mean, the average age of a golden retriever in the 70s was 17 and now it's 10. So
in the
past 50 years, it's nearly decreased by half, which, you know, if that doesn't scream there is a problem with what we feed and how we care for our pets, then, I mean, I don't know what is, you know. We shouldn't
and I
be
think
going.
You can give them all the love in the world, can't you? But actually, the love that you give them is what you put in them, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's what you kind of expose them to and how you kind of deal with that. Because even if you really skint and you can't afford fresh food and you can only afford like the cheapest bag of kibble, there are still things that you can do to kind of try and increase that longevity. I mean, studies have shown that even just by putting fresh vegetables on your dog's meal 3 times a week is like 10 to 20% can reduce certain types of cancer.
Absolutely.
It's literally just kind of finding those ways to do it in a way that fits you and your budget. So even if you can't feed a fully raw diet, then you can still make a massive difference. And the most important thing is detoxing pets from these chemicals that they're exposed to, you know, reduce the amount of flea and tick treatments, go natural, use herbs to kind of equip the body. Garlic you can use. Garlic is, you know, it's been proven to be an effective wormer, and it also helps to repel fleas and ticks when you feed it to your dog on a regular basis. And you can get garlic for pennies at the supermarket.
You can.
And you need to feed, I mean, the maximum you can give even a giant dog is 2 cloves a day. So it's not like you need one bulb a week maybe. And that's your natural preventative instead of using these chemicals. And then you can use things like milk thistle to kind of, you know, support the liver and the kidneys and detox all these toxins out. So even if you only feed kibble, you can still do things with natural feeding to help that as well. So I think we need to get people aware of what they can do, don't we? I think
and for all life stages, because I just think every, you know, the beginning you've got this puppy, in the middle you've got this dog that you do things with, a senior, I think they get a hard time. I think it's almost like We can't really do anything now. We don't give him that. We don't do that with the dog. You know, he's old now. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I think
you can,
and they're amazing. You know, I think that life stage is to be celebrated. Absolutely, every moment.
Yeah,
is to be celebrated and to keep them living as long as you can. And I think nutrition is
the key.
Is the key. Yeah,
because the body is so amazing at being able to repair itself, and if you give it the tools that it needs in order to do so, it will do just that.
So to
give our dogs the tools that they need to repair themselves is by detoxing them from the chemicals from their environment and their foods and their treatments, and by giving them fresh, whole, bioavailable nutrients that their body can utilize in an effective way. That is, you know, and that is just a starting point. With seniors, there's so much more as well, isn't there? Because it's like you need to make sure they've got extra support for their cognition and their bones and their joints. But like you said with Lily, just the fact that she is in a good condition and that she's not overweight means that her joints are spared. And she's not having to work extra hard to kind of get up and move about. She won't be feeling stiff or sore because she's supple, you know, and she's slim.
She stretches her back legs out, all the way out, stretches those back legs out, those hips. Watching her stretch is amazing, because you think of that age, what similar dogs that you've seen can't
stretch. They'd be hobbling along. They'd be hobbling along. I know, it's sad. And, you know, the main leading cause of euthanasia is the fact that dogs lose their mobility. Yeah. And that is, you know, swollen joints, arthritis, because they're overweight. More than half of pets are overweight or obese. And yeah. it's just absolutely shocking. Like, yeah. it always makes me really mad when I yeah. see overweight absolutely. And obese pets. But most yeah. pet parents don't actually think their pets are obese either, no. which no. is the problem. So yeah,
absolutely. You see them every day. People don't think about it. But then again, you can weigh them regularly. You can get your hands on them. You can yeah, see get other your people's hands dogs. On them.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing still like fitness and conditioning. Freddie goes to a fitness and conditioning class. I do the same things with Lily. She will climb over unstable surfaces. She puts her paws on different objects. Yeah. So her mobility and her nutrition and her fitness all going hand in hand to make live the best life you can live, really.
Amazing, amazing. And it's true what they say, isn't it? If you don't use it, you lose it. And the fact that she's still yeah. doing all these things and participating in these activities, yeah. which are still going to be maintaining yeah. the muscle that she's got by doing the yeah. conditioning, even just simple exercises as, you know, lifting the paws upon different objects, yeah. that's working their muscles, isn't it, and maintaining their shape.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
no, that's fantastic. She is a lucky lady, isn't she? She's a lucky lady to she's have amazing. A mama so devoted. Yeah,
she's amazing. Yeah, she's amazing.
I feel like I can picture her in my mind and I've never even see her. Is that strange?
just imagine cute.
That's what I mean. Sometimes I think I'm a bit strange with dogs.
We're all strange with dogs. That's why we've got lucky dogs. We're fine.
Yeah, and that's why we all get on so well, because we're yeah. all just as crazy as each other.
Absolutely. But no, they're amazing. And yeah, celebrate your senior dog. Yeah. It's never too late to add something to that bowl. Never too late.
And it will make a massive difference. Even if you can only afford to do it once or twice yeah. or three times a week, then it's yeah. always going to be enough, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can add something. I think something's better than nothing when it comes to feeding them something.
Yeah.
And looking at the treats, like, you know, dehydrated, thinking about what you're putting into them that way. Chews, anything like that. Just the enrichment, you know, sniffing, snuffle mats, putting nice little bits of dehydrated food in that, anything food-wise that you can just do for the enrichment.
Yeah. You know,
she can do a lot. She does a lot less now because she can't see and she can't hear. So actually, she's still got plenty of energy. So where do we put that? We put that in her activity center. We move the coffee table. We get all our activities out. We fill them up with little bits and bobs. And she spends half an hour sniffing around there, you know?
That's I bet she loves it. Yeah, you know? I bet she loves it.
That's what you do, you know, celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. No, I love that. That's what we should all do for our old dogs. Don't just accept that they're getting old.
No,
don't let them stay young.
Yeah, absolutely. That you can keep them young. Keep them young.
Yeah, definitely. Because as well, you know, there's this idea, it's the same for people and for pets, that what we want, longevity and, you know, quality of life for our dogs is it isn't a slowly degradation of ill health, where, you know, over the course of 5 years their health declines slowly until, you know, the time comes. What we want is a long and fruitful life and then a rapid decline at the end.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You know, when it gets to, and that is how that's how we want it for ourselves, and that's how it should be for our pets. But more and more pets now are getting diseases when they're young, and they're, you know, they're suffering from chronic illness for the last 5 years or more of their life, and that is not what we want to see. We want to see healthy pups, and then, you know, when the time does unfortunately come, they've had a good, solid life.
Yeah, no regrets.
Yeah.
Oh. No regrets. And I think one more important thing is, like what you've been saying, is about the gut health as well. Sometimes senior dogs, whether they have had certain illnesses and maybe you are giving them antibiotics, I think it is then supporting that gut, because I think, again, that could be the decline of a dog that is on antibiotics and then their gut health isn't that great, and then it can spiral from there. So I think being really aware of what you are putting in them, and if you're having to support them as well.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah, because the gut basically is the master of the body.
Absolutely.
As you know, discussed with my good friend Rachel from Boiler Broth, and it it controls the immune system. So if you've got something going off in the gut, then the immune system's under compromise. And in a senior dog, we don't want a compromised immune system. We need to keep them healthy. Otherwise, we're going to get lots of other problems, aren't we? So, yeah, definitely. And feeding broth on a daily basis is going to help with that gut health, isn't it?
So and they love it.
So if you could name, let's say five, you want to name five foods that you think are kind of key additions to the bowl for seniors, what would they be?
Sardines,
yeah. Oily fish, good. Yeah.
Oily fish, eggs.
Yeah.
I would go with a real mix of vegetables, all the colours of the rainbow. All the colours of the rainbow for sure. I would go something that, again, it's going to depend on your senior and their teeth, but I would always go something that they can really chew on. So although we
do a big raw meaty bone.
Yeah, although we do minces quite a bit and we do all sorts of other bits, but a nice raw meaty bone. A rib is great. I've got a tiny dog, so a rib for Freddie and for Lily, they just strip the meat. They can't crunch the bone, so that's not the bone that they have. But a raw beef bone, a raw rib, brilliant. So that's four. Fifth one, I would say hearts and organ and any sort of organ meat, but hearts always a winner.
Yeah, definitely. Well, organ therapy is like feeds like, isn't it? So if you feed them the organs, it's going to replenish their organs. So
well, this is what I thought with Millie when she had a heart problem and they were trying to persuade me elsewhere. I was like, no, I'm going to feed loads of hearts. And sort of did the same for Lily. She had a mystery illness a couple of years ago. The vets didn't know what it was.
Really?
They didn't know what it was. They didn't have a clue. She came through it. We still don't really know what it was. But feeding her these amazing foods, they definitely helped her. But she had a blood test, and on the blood test, if you raw feed, it comes up with different numbers, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So then they were really heavily telling me she's got really bad kidney disease. And I'm thinking, I don't think she has. I think it's just that, I think it's just a number. Again, I wouldn't question the vet in that way because my vet's amazing. But I'm thinking, no, I don't think it is that, because I think the numbers are just reflecting that actually this is what she's fed. And again, I got the talk of, oh, maybe you should be feeding this instead. And I went against it again, and she's thriving.
Oh, good.
And again, never vet bashing, because they're amazing.
They are. But, it's just it's two different worlds at the minute, isn't it?
Two different worlds, all. Yeah. Nutrition's just not their thing, and that's fine, But then people like you are there, you need nutrition advice, you go to an expert, don't you?
That's what we're trying to do. We just try to guide pet parents to make the choices that, they feel are right. So, and that's what's best for the pet, which is why we're here.
Absolutely.
And this is why you're sharing your story with us as well, so that other pet parents can hopefully take inspiration from your personal journey. Because I can sit here all day and tell people to feed raw food to the dog, and till I'm blue in the face, and whether they listen to me or not, it's up to them. But from people to hear it from other people who have an experience of feeding fresh food to their dogs, especially their senior dogs, this is how we're going to kind of help to inspire others to change. Because you're a dog trainer now, but when you first started feeding raw, you were just like them, weren't you? You're that person who's been pondering, thinking about, which is what I was when I first started anyway, but you were just pondering about it, thinking about it, maybe wanted to dip your toe in it. And word of mouth is a powerful thing. So by sharing your story and by exploring stories on this podcast, that is one of the things that I hope to achieve most
and
definitely.
I'm still just a dog trainer. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a feeding expert. I'm just doing what is working for mine. And I'll always say to people, check this out, check these out, go and find information from here. This is my story. But find out information, and I can direct them to great content. There's great content out there on social media. There really is. But back when I first started it, there was some Facebook forums, and you did have to pick through. And again, you've got to really think about, does this sound right? You would pick the best bits out.
Yeah.
But now there is so much out there. Instagram's amazing. You know, there's people out there who know what they're doing, and it's great. Supportive.
Yeah. So I feel like this question is going to be irrelevant now because I feel like you've just answered it, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You might have something different to say. If there are pet parents listening who are kind of sat on the fence, a bit unsure, maybe want to learn more about raw feeding or kind of try it for themselves, what is one thing you would say to them now?
I would say it's easy to say just do it, but what I would say is reach out to people. Yeah. Just go on Instagram and hashtag raw feeding, fresh feeding. It's a great place just to find information. You pick bits from everywhere then. Find what works for you and do it, and don't worry about, you don't have to get the best straight, but you just have to just dip your toe in and just give it a go.
Crack an egg into your dog's bowl.
Day one egg, you're away, you know, you're away. And if you do that every week for a month, say you've cracked an egg, and the next month you go for something else,
you'd feel a bit more confident after you've done
you gain confidence, absolutely. But yeah, reach out. There's people out there who will help you, and I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks, Michelle. That's a great bit of advice from you there. So if anyone wants to come and say hello to you or maybe get some dog training advice as well, where can they find you?
They can find me on Facebook and on Instagram at Freddie and Friends Dog Training.
Wonderful. What I will do as well is I'll pop that in the show notes so that anyone who wants to kind of connect. Are you happy for people to reach out about raw feeding if they
absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. Okie dokie. So anyone that is listening, if you want to connect with Michelle and either get some dog training advice or just to kind of touch on the story shared today, then check out the show notes and the link will be there to take you straight to her. Well, Michelle, thanks ever so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing your story. Hopefully, you will have inspired some pet parents to take the leap and crack an egg.
Thank you so much. Get that egg cracked.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you ever want to come back in the future, then just let me know. I'm always happy to have you.
Thank you. That's been lovely.
Speak to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademeduitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.